Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, October 20, 2022, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3, we are in the rest of chapter 3 and chapter 4. Greatest study in the Word of God on the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, which is virtue love brought to completion in your hearts. We have exegeted verses 10 through 14, at least halfway through verse 14. In preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This section on virtue love actually begins in the second half of verse 10. And of course you understand that the verses themselves, the numbering is not inspired. If this was God the Holy Spirit doing this, verse 11 would have started halfway through verse 10. But God the Holy Spirit wasn't in charge of that. Setting up the verse numbers was human beings. And anytime you got human beings, you're going to have all kinds of things going on. 1 John 3, 10b starts out, anyone who does not do righteousness. Well, what does that mean? Doing righteousness. This has nothing to do with your justification by faith. At the moment you place your faith in Jesus Christ, God imputes his righteousness to you and declares you justified. That's not what is going on here. This is doing righteousness. And that is the believer that is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. He has advanced to spiritual maturity. He has virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. And one of the synonyms for spiritual maturity is grace righteousness. And when you have grace righteousness, there you do righteousness. That is, there is grace righteous production in your life. Now, anyone who does not do righteousness, that is, produce grace righteousness, which is sacred honor. I love that, honor, integrity, virtue. I have been blessed in so many ways. I'm at the twilight of my life, but I have been blessed in so many ways. It brings tears to my eyes to think about all the blessings I've received. But the greatest gift of all is the Lord Jesus Christ and what He accomplished for me. But also the gift of my wife, Debbie. Absolutely one of the greatest blessings in my life ever. In all that she does. And she does so many things I couldn't... the computer couldn't keep track of all of the things that she does. Millions of them. And here around the church, like right now, she's back here teaching the little people. She's the head of the bib ed department. As if she doesn't have enough to do. She has a lot. It would take everything just to take care of me. And then she does everything around this church. Everything. All kinds of things. The deacons, they are great. But they're, Debbie's up here and the deacons are just down here. Anyway, she gave me a ring. It was a grace righteousness ring. It's got a cross and then it has sacred honor. I wear this all the time. Sacred honor. That means everything. It means everything that we're studying here. Sacred honor. Anyone who does not do righteousness, produce grace righteousness, sacred honor, integrity, virtue, he absolutely is not a student of God, a disciple of God. Nor is anyone a student or disciple of God who does not love his fellow believer with impersonal love. Because this is the command, which command you have heard from the beginning, from the Lord Jesus Christ in his hypostatic union, the first advent. That we, all believers, should love one another. Impersonal love for all. Absolutely not as Cain, who was motivated by the evil one, Satan, and he violently murdered his brother, Abel. And for what reason? For what reason did he murder him? Because his own works and offerings kept on being human good and evil, worthless, degenerate. But the works and offerings of his brother Abel were righteous, grace, righteous production of a spiritually mature believer. Verse 13. And brethren, royal family of God, stop being surprised or shocked if the world hates you. First class condition, and the world does hate you. Verse 14. We know that we have changed our residence away from death, and this is cosmic death, 8 different categories of death in the Word of God. We're studying this under category number 3, cosmic death. We know that we have changed our residence away from cosmic death to life, the spiritual life, and that's as far as we've exegeted. But I'll give you the rest of the verse. I could give you the rest of the chapter, corrected translation, and then the next chapter, but we'll get there. Because we keep on loving the brethren, fellow believers. Anyone who does not love all fellow believers with impersonal love keeps on remaining in the sphere of cosmic death. So this is the 1 John 3, verse 14 is the verse of on cosmic death. And we are in the process of studying the 8 categories of death that are found in the Word of God. We've studied 2 of those and are halfway through the 3rd one, which is our verse, 1 John 3:14, cosmic death. The first category we study was spiritual death, and that is true for every member of the human race except for one, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his incarnation and virgin birth, is the only member of true humanity who came into the world, was born physically alive, spiritually alive, indwelt and filled by the Spirit of God from the moment of his physical birth on. And he never, ever committed personal sin. But everybody else, we all come in at the moment of physical birth, we're physically alive, but we are spiritually dead. The origin of spiritual death was the original sin of man, Adam, in the garden. Genesis 2:17, he was given a volitional test and a warning. They, in the garden, they were in perfection. They had everything they could want. They had all the most fantastic trees given to them for food and so forth. However, there was one tree that was simply a volitional test, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord Jesus Christ taught them personally in Bible class. Adam was paying attention. The woman was not paying attention in Bible class. And she wound up being deceived by the serpent who was indwelt by Satan. And she told the serpent, she started a conversation with the devil. Oh, he would have a lot of neat things. And she said, well, we have been told that we shouldn't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or we will die. And the serpent said, oh, that's not true. God knows that if you eat of that, you'll be as smart as God is. And there's a lot of women that just want to be as smart as God is, or they already think they're as smart as God is. Really? Yeah. You eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will be as smart as God is. So she ate. But what Jesus Christ said was, the day you eat of it, dying, you will die. 2 different types of death here. Dying refers to spiritual death, which occurred instantly, the moment that the woman and the man ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You will die. Well, that was way on down the road. That was physical death. The penalty of spiritual death was imposed at the fall of man in the garden, and is perpetuated in the human race through physical birth. Spiritual death occurs at the moment of physical birth. The entire human race is born physically alive and spiritually dead. Romans 5, verse 12. We have that coming up in our Sunday morning class. Therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death, spiritual death, through that sin, so spiritual death spread to all men, because all have sinned when Adam sinned. Adam made a decision for the entire human race. Spiritual death is perpetuated in the human race at physical birth. Mankind is condemned by the imputation of Adam's original sin to the genetically formed old sin nature. So our condemnation is based on Adam's imputed sin to our genetically formed sin nature. Our personal sins are the result of spiritual death. Personal sin is not the means of our spiritual death, but the result of spiritual death. There are two categories of spiritual death: real spiritual death, substitutionary spiritual death. Real spiritual death was the actual spiritual death of Adam, who made the decision for the entire human race, and we are all really spiritually dead at the moment of physical birth. Substitutionary spiritual death occurred on the cross when our Lord bore our personal sins in his own body and was then judged for our personal sins once and for all. Our personal sins were never imputed to us for condemnation. Rather, they were imputed to Jesus Christ and judged in him to solve our sin problem. 1 Peter 2:24, 1 Peter 3:18, 2 Corinthians 5:21, Romans 5:8, Isaiah 53:6, and we studied those last time. The solution to spiritual death is stated in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, spiritual death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We obtain spiritual death at the moment of physical birth. Spiritual death is resolved at the moment of spiritual birth. Regeneration, being born again, solves the problem of spiritual death. Jesus also made a paranomasia out of spiritual and physical death in Matthew 8:22. He said, "Follow me," to his disciples, "follow me, let the spiritually dead," the unbelievers, "bury their own dead," the physically dead, "but you follow me." Spiritual death is the subject of 1 Corinthians 15:22. "For as in Adam all die," spiritual death, "so also in Christ shall all be made alive." And then we summarize, spiritual death means that we come into the world dichotomous. We are born with a body and a soul, but we are born spiritually dead. We have no human spirit at physical birth, and therefore we have no relationship with God. We have no fellowship with God. Spiritual death means the status of total depravity. Total depravity means we are in degeneracy, either moral degeneracy or immoral degeneracy. Spiritual death means total separation from God, and we are totally helpless to do anything about it. This opens the door for Operation Grace, the cross, God the Father's plan for eternal salvation. The common grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit turns the light on in the soul of the unbeliever at gospel hearing, so he can understand the grace gospel, which is faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. That is the basis for eternal salvation. And then we studied category number two in the doctrine of death, positional death of the believer, or retroactive positional truth. While spiritual death occurs at physical birth, positional death occurs at our spiritual birth. Regeneration, being born again. Positional death occurs through the baptism of the Holy Spirit at salvation. The believer is identified with Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Romans chapter 6, and we'll be getting there, Romans 6, 1 through 7. Positional death is also called retroactive positional truth. It is the believer's identification with Christ in his death. And then that brought us to category number three in the doctrine of death, and that is cosmic death of the believer. Cosmic death of the believer, this is our verse, 1 John 3:14. We know that we have changed our residence away from cosmic death to life, spiritual life. How do we know that? Because we keep on loving the brethren, fellow believers. Anyone who does not love all fellow believers with impersonal love keeps on remaining in cosmic death. Just a moment here. I need a swig. Ooh. It's just green tea. Green tea, great stuff, green tea. We are studying category number 3, cosmic death of the believer. We've studied the first 8 points. Point 1, cosmic death is also called temporal death or carnal death. The cosmic or carnal death of the believer deals with 3 categories of failure. That's point 2, post-salvation sinning, post-salvation human good, post-salvation evil. 3, cosmic or carnal death is described in Ephesians 5:14, which says, wake up! Wake up! You're living in the cosmic system. You have to wake up! This is addressed to believers in Jesus Christ. Wake up, you sleeper! Rise up out from the dead. Rise up out of cosmic death. How do you wake up and get out of cosmic death? Rebound. Now, if you're living in the cosmic system and too damn arrogant, you don't even think you're doing anything wrong. You think you're doing great things. We're going to see about some believers that thought they were great, great believers doing great things. And they were living in the cosmic system. And they were living in the cosmic system so long, and they did some really great things. They gave money to the church. Now, I almost hate teaching this because some of you say, I got the lesson of this. Don't give, I'm not going to give any damn money to the church. That's one damn thing I'm not going to do, I'll tell you that. Because they died and they carried them out and they buried them. So I'm going to learn the moral of this story. So I thought, well, should I teach this? Should I not? Okay, well, go ahead and teach it. You can do whatever you want. Wake up, you sleeper. Rise up out of cosmic death. Point 4, the believer is out of fellowship with God. He's living in Satan's cosmic system. He's involved in moral and immoral degeneracy. 5, this carnality or carnal death is described in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. And I'd like to start with that again at tonight's great passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 through 3. And of course, there are many, Corinth was a huge city. There were lots and lots of local churches there. There were lots of believers there. And most of them were in cosmic death. Most of them were. They invented 1 Corinthians. Paul has to deal with one category of reversionism and then another category of reversionism and then another category and another category. They pretty much hold the record for living in the cosmic system in categories of reversionism. So, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, brethren, fellow believers, he's addressing believers, I could not address you as spiritual. You're not spiritual. You're not filled with the Spirit. You're not living the spiritual life. You're living in Satan's cosmic system. You're in cosmic death. You're in carnal death, cosmic death. But I have to address you as sarkinos. Sarkinos comes from sark. Sark is the old sin nature, the flesh. One of the main words for the sin nature is sark, or the flesh. And sarkinos comes from sark. It means fleshly. It means you're operating by your sin nature. You're living in Satan's cosmic system. So I couldn't address you as spiritual because you're not spiritual. You have no spiritual life. You're not filled with the Spirit. But as sarkinos, fleshly, living by your power of your sin nature in the cosmic system. And you are mere infants, babies. And you've been believers for years and years and years. And here you are, you're still spiritual babies in Christ. I gave you milk, basic doctrine, and not solid food. No advanced doctrine. For you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready for advanced doctrine because you're still baby believers in cosmic death in Satan's cosmic system. You are still sarkinos. You're still functioning by your sin nature in Satan's cosmic system. And then he says, how do we know that? For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, these were just some of the sins, but they were had mental, the strongest mental attitude sin that there is the sin of jealousy. And then sins of the tongue. Quarreling, fighting, arguing, all of that is a demonstration you're living in the cosmic system. When that goes on from a believer in Jesus Christ, you are living in Satan's cosmic system. You are sarkinos, you're fleshly, you're in cosmic death, you have no spiritual life. Jealousy and quarreling among you. Are you not sarkinos? Yes, you are. Demands the answer, yes, you are. Yes, you are. In cosmic death, operating by the sin nature. Are you not acting like mere unbelievers? Yes, you are. You can't tell the believer living in the cosmic system from unbelievers. They do the exact same thing. So this is a great passage that describes cosmic death or carnal death. Here the word is sarkinos, probably better to call it carnal death. Point six, the believer uses his volition to convert temptation from the sin nature into sinfulness. How do you do that? By saying yes to the temptation. Temptation's not a sin. You never rebound temptation. The old sin nature is constantly sending up temptations, but you have a guardian that protects your soul. That is your volition, your free will. All you have to do is say no. Say no, God the Holy Spirit stays in control, the filling of the Spirit. You say yes to the temptation, the old sin nature takes over control of the soul. So whether the believer knows he is being tempted or not is never the issue. The issue is that you wanted to do that sin, and so you did it. And therefore, ignorance is no excuse before the Lord. The believer cannot sin while he's living the spiritual life by the filling of the Spirit. And therefore, the decision to sin is made outside of the spiritual life. And then point eight, the decision to sin automatically places the believer inside Satan's cosmic system. Living in the cosmic system classifies the believer as living in cosmic death. 1 John 3:14, our verse. For the believer, then, cosmic involvement through sin is always cosmic death. Now, that's the first 8 points of category number 3, cosmic death. Now, we start tonight with point number 9. When you are in interlocking systems of arrogance and or interlocking systems of hatred, you are in cosmic death. John's going to talk about that. He's going to say, do you hate your fellow believer? You hate your fellow believer. You have no spiritual life. You have no virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You're in cosmic death. You're in the cosmic system, and you're in cosmic death. Don't go around and tell me that you're a great believer and have a spiritual life, and then you hate your fellow believers. No, you don't. You don't have no spiritual life at all. You are in the cosmic system in cosmic death. So when you are in interlocking systems of arrogance and or interlocking systems of hatred, you are in cosmic death. 10. Volition is the guardian of your soul. Volition is the guardian of your soul. You have a free will. Temptation is not a sin, but the act of volition which follows when you say yes to the temptation, then the old sin nature takes over control of your soul. So here's the question. Who is going to control your soul. The old sin nature, which is in the cell structure of the body, or the Holy Spirit, who indwells your body. So you have two things going on inside your body. The old sin nature and the cell structure of the body. The indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit, in your body. And what's going on between the two? A war! You have a war going on inside of you between the sin nature and God, the Holy Spirit, and they're both trying to have control of your life, your soul. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5, let's start at verse 16. So I say, walk by the agency of the Spirit. And walking refers to live your life. Live your life by the agency of God the Holy Spirit. That is, live your life by the power of the filling of the Spirit. The spiritual life is a supernatural way of life, demands supernatural power for its execution. You can't live it. You cannot live it. It has to be by the power of the Spirit of God. So I say, live your life, walk by the agency of the Spirit, and you will not gratify the lust patterns of your sin nature. You have a sin nature all throughout your body with all these lust patterns. And if you are living your life walking by the agency of the Spirit, you will not gratify the lust patterns of your sin nature. For the sin nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the sin nature. They, the spirit and the sin nature, are at war with each other. They're at war with each other. You got a war going on inside of you. They are at war with each other so that you do not do what you want. So you decide. You decide who's going to win the war by your own volition, your own free will. If temptation comes up and you say yes to the temptation, the old sin nature wins the war. Now the old sin nature's got control of your life. You're in cosmic death. You're living in the cosmic system. You have no spiritual life. The old sin nature's in charge. You say no to the temptation. God the Holy Spirit stays in charge, filling of the Spirit. You're living the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God. So the believer's decision to sin automatically gives control of his soul to the old sin nature, while the believer's decision not to sin gives control of the soul to God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. 11 scripture, lots of scripture on cosmic death. So let's start going through the scripture. Let's first of all, James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James 1 verse 15. Then, after lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death, cosmic death. Now turn over to Romans. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. You come to this local church, bring your Bibles. Anybody here doesn't have a Bible? Anybody didn't have a Bible? I hope you wear your Bible out. You stay in this church, you'll wear it out. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. The mind of sinful man is death, cosmic death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, is life and peace. Now look at verse 13. Verse 13, for if you live according to the sin nature, you will die, cosmic death. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, and you will live, you'll be living the spiritual life. And then 1 John 3:14, our verse, we know that we have changed our residence away from cosmic death to life, the spiritual life, because we keep on loving the brethren, fellow believers. Anyone who does not love all fellow believers keeps on remaining in the sphere of cosmic death. And that's verse 14. 1 Timothy 5:6. Turn over to 1 Timothy 5:6. By the way, I've worn out my Bibles. I got three Bibles up here, and they're all worn out. But I'm not going to get a new one. I got too many notes in this stuff. All the way through, notes. When I get on Sunday, our 12 communion services during the year, those page, 1 Corinthians 11, it's a mess. But I keep putting tape. I have scotch tape. Every time it starts to tear, I tape it again. In fact, everything, and this is going to, we're going to be studying this. Everything in my office, that I, my library, I purchased and did that at Dallas Seminary before. I didn't know where God was going to send me. I thought He might send me where there isn't a theological library. Duh. The only library in Las Vegas is a gambling library. A lot of you have been there. So it's a good thing I have my library all set up. And my library is shot. It's fallen apart. I've had to get more books. They're all falling apart. Now, we're going to be getting to a passage in 2 Corinthians, and it's talking not about books. It talks about your human body. And our human body is turning to shit. That's the literal translation of that. And a lot of you could say, I'm surprised I didn't hear an amen. Several amens. Yes. But that's the outer man. But the inner man is being renewed day by day. So while the body is turning to me, I know, the inner man, hopefully living the Spirit, is being renewed day by day. 1 Timothy 5:6. And this is a passage on widows. Well, we'll start at verse 5, because we have the widow who is living the spiritual life in verse 5. This, and by the way, we've had many widows in this church. I love them. They were the best of the best. I love the widows. All of them. They were fantastic. And I always tried to, Deb and I, we would take them to movies. We'd have them over to the house for a special dinner. We'd take them out to a special dinner. They don't have a lot. They don't have anything. They don't have anything by way of material things or money or anything. And I don't either. But I love to take that. I would take the widows, all of them. We go to dinner. We go to a movie. We would, and every time, Helen Ryder, and by the way, they're in heaven. These widows are all in heaven now. Helen Ryder, what a gem she was. And every time we would go to get in the car and go somewhere, she would say, she would have a joke. And they were funny jokes, because they were dirty. The only funny jokes there are. And she'd always start out, I have a joke. And so she would start out with a joke. And she's supposed to be blind, but as I'm driving, she'd say, stop at the light, and the light turned green. She goes, it's not going to get any greener. And I said, I thought you were supposed to be blind. Get back into your blind mode. So first we have the widow living the spiritual life. The widow who is really in need, destitute, and left all alone, puts her confidence in God. She has her total confidence in God. She's destitute. She doesn't have a lot. She has very little, as a matter of fact. But she's a winner believer. She's a believer living the spiritual life. She is destitute. She's missing out on all kinds of material things and blessings. And left all alone, she puts her confidence in God and continues night and day in prayer. You talk about the greatest prayer warriors this church has ever had, it's the widows. It's the widows. They pray night and day, over and over and over. And their prayers are the prayers of grace, righteous believers that accomplish much. I love those ladies. They were phenomenal. But then verse 6, we have the widow living in the cosmic system in cosmic death. But the widow who lives for pleasure, living in Satan's cosmic system, is dead even while she lives. She is in cosmic death. And then Revelation chapter 3. Turn over to Revelation 3. At Revelation 3 verse 1, and it says, and to the angel. Now, that's a transliteration of angelos. It can refer to angels sometimes, but it also is a messenger or a communicator or a pastor teacher. And to the pastor of the church in Sardis, write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a reputation that you are alive. In other words, you really think you are great believers. You have this reputation. You've told everybody about how great you are. That you have a reputation that you are alive, a great believer. But you are dead. You are in cosmic death. Woo. 12. The believer who is positive to Bible doctrine understands how to recover from cosmic death. Rebound. Problem-solving device number one, rebound. In many ways, perhaps the most important of all the problem-solving devices, rebound. The negative believer, however, doesn't mess with rebound. The negative believer continues to live his life by the lust patterns of his sin nature in the cosmic system. He is the walking dead. He is in the status of cosmic death while he lives. 13. The believer who spends his life in cosmic death usually dies physically from maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death. The believer who spends his life in cosmic death usually dies physically from maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death. 1 John 5:16, there is a sin unto death. 1 John 5:16. Revelation 3:16. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Sin unto death. But turn over to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Perhaps the best illustration of the sin unto death. In fact, we need to start at the end of Acts chapter 4, verse 36, because we have a believer here who is living the spiritual life, who is a great, great believer. Joseph, verse Acts 4:36, Joseph, who is a great believer, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, he sold a field that he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, the next, from chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, these next people did the same thing, but Joseph is living the spiritual life, and this is the result of grace giving, generosity, the filling of the Spirit. There were a lot of people that were destitute and in need, and he saw the need, and God motivated him to provide this fantastic grace giving as a result of his spiritual life. Now, there's a couple others named Ananias and Sapphira. They're living in Satan's cosmic system. They're believers in Jesus Christ, but they're living in Satan's cosmic system. And by the way, this isn't just one sin they did. They've been living in the cosmic system a long time. Over and over and over, they've been living in the cosmic system. This is just the culmination of living in the cosmic system. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, they heard about Joseph, and everybody was so appreciative. There were so many destitute people that were helped out by this, and they kind of caught wind of that, and so they wanted to demonstrate how great they were. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. And with his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself. Now that's not the problem here. And there's some people say, oh, he should have given it all to the church. And, you know, if I was not a honorable pastor, I would say, yeah, he should have given it all. But no, he didn't have to give anything. It's his property. He could sell it and keep it all for himself. He didn't have to give any of it. That wasn't the problem. He's been living in the cosmic system. Who is the head? Who invented the cosmic system? Satan. Who is the father of all lies? Satan. These two have become the devil's disciples. They are living in the cosmic system. They are pathological liars. It's easier for them to lie than tell the truth. When anybody talks to them, in this case, Peter talks to them. They just lied to Peter. Didn't make any difference who Peter was. Didn't make any difference he's an apostle. They just lied to him. Because they have been living in the cosmic system. They're pathological liars. And they lied and gave the impression to Peter that they sold it. And this is the entire amount. We're giving it to you. just like Joseph did. Well, they didn't, but that's lying. Now, they didn't have to give any at all. They could have kept it all. The problem is, this is lying as a result of being a disciple of the devil in cosmic death, living in the cosmic system. So Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? Well, it's because he's in cosmic death, and he's been in cosmic death a long time. And he's become a pathological liar. And now he's going to do something that will make it look like he's really a great believer, but he's not a great believer. He's a reversionistic believer in cosmic death, and he's going to die the sin unto death. And Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You haven't lied to men, you have lied to God. And when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died, and great fear seized all who heard what had happened. And then the young man came forward, wrapped up his body, carried it out, and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, it was. No, it wasn't. And again, they could have kept all of it. It isn't a matter of whether they kept the money or gave part of it or gave all of it. It's the fact they're living in cosmic death. They're disciples of the devil, and they are pathological liars. They look like they're doing a really great thing, and they're great. They're not. They're the devil's disciples living in cosmic death. Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. And at that moment she fell down at his feet, and she died. And then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Now great fear seized the whole church. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. And that's where I've always kind of chuckled. Great fear seized the whole church, and I can see them getting together and talking with each other at dinner. Whoa, I don't know. Well, there's one thing, I'm sure as hell not going to give any money, the church. The hell with that. You saw what happened there. But that really has nothing to do with it. It's where are you living? Are you living the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God and the Word of God in your heart? Or are you living in cosmic death in Satan's cosmic system? If you're living in cosmic death in Satan's cosmic system, I'll guarantee you, you'll be a pathological liar. You'll look at people and you'll just roll off. They'll ask you a question. You'll just roll off a lie. Lie, lie, lie. Just easier than telling the truth because you're in cosmic death. All right. Now that brings us to category number four. Category number four, operational death of the believer. Operational death of the believer, or dead works. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Category number four of death in the Bible, operational death of the believer, or dead works. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. All right, a couple of, let's nail this down. What is this saying? One, dead works include all facets of Christian service performed outside of the spiritual life. Dead works include all facets of Christian service performed outside of the spiritual life. Two, dead works is analogous to human good produced by the area of strength of the old sin nature. Dead works is analogous to human good produced by the area of strength of the sin nature. Remember, the sin nature has an area of weakness producing personal sin and area of strength producing human good, dead works. Dead works is analogous to human good produced by the area of strength of the sin nature. Three, dead works are produced totally apart from the filling of the Spirit. Dead works are produced totally apart from the filling of the Spirit. And there are a lot of believers that do works, good works, good works, work, 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 works. And everybody says, aren't they wonderful people? Aren't they great? Isn't this great? And they're in operational death. They have no spiritual life. They have no filling of the Spirit. They're just operating by the area of strength of their sin nature and doing all of these human good dead works. And people from the outside look and say, isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? And in God's eyes, no, it isn't wonderful at all. Not at all. Three, dead works are produced totally apart from the filling of the Spirit. Four, works produced in the cosmic system are dead. Works produced in the cosmic system are dead. Five, in the cosmic system, works are legalism, self-righteousness, and arrogance parlayed into evil. In the cosmic system, works are legalism, self-righteousness, and arrogance parlayed into evil. Six, dead works refers to the production, Christian service, or good works of the believer performed while he is living in Satan's cosmic system. Dead works refers to the production, Christian service, or good works of the believer performed while he is living in Satan's cosmic system. Seven, anything related to the cosmic system is outside of the plan of God. Anything related to the cosmic system is outside of the plan of God. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Great passage to illustrate operational death of the believer. Dead works that, as far as God is concerned, mean absolutely nothing in God's eyes. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, and then, of course, at this time, this was a temporary spiritual gift that was operating. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, virtue love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Then verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy, and that was a temporary communication gift. Tongues was a temporary gift. This is a temporary gift at the pre-canon period of the church age. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I have no virtue love, I am nothing. I am nothing. Verse 3. If I give all I possess, all my possessions, all my money, all my material things to the poor, to the destitute, and surrender my body to the flames, but have not virtue love, I gain nothing. It means nothing. Now, all of these things are good works. They're all dead works because there's no spiritual life. There's no spiritual life in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. No spiritual life, no filling of the Spirit, no virtue love, no metabolized doctrine in the heart. This is just living in the cosmic system. And this is dead works. It means nothing to God. The believer in moral degeneracy can perform hundreds and hundreds of acts of Christian service, all of which are dead works. 8, all works, production, and Christian service of the believer living in the cosmic system is dead and will be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. All works, production, and Christian service of the believer living in the cosmic system is dead and will be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3. So turn over to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, 12 to 15. All works, production, Christian service of the believer living in the cosmic system is dead and will be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation, using gold, silver, precious stones, that's divine good production, from living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. You live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, there will be divine good production, gold, silver, precious stones. However, if you're living in Satan's cosmic system, there will be dead works, wood, hay, and straw. Dead works. And his work will be shown by what it is, because the day will bring it to light. The day is the judgment seat of Christ. The day, the judgment seat of Christ, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's production. If what he has built survives, gold, silver, precious stones, divine good production from living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, he will receive rewards, crowns and rewards, greater grace blessing for all eternity for the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ. However, if it is burned up, wood, hay, and straw, the dead works of living in the cosmic system produced by the area of strength of the sin nature, if it's burned up, wood, hay, and straw, he will suffer loss. He will lose out on all greater grace blessing for eternity. But He won't lose his salvation. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. So I hope that at the judgment seat of Christ, and I will be there as well, and be there with y'all. And if I look at you and your hair is all gone, your eyebrows are gone, the hair in your nose is gone, and your ears is gone, you've got soot and ashes all over your face, arms, I'll look at you and all I'll be able to see is your teeth white. Because you're just happy. You're just happy that you're going to be in heaven. But everything was burned up because you were living your life in the cosmic system, not living the spiritual life by the grace and power of God. 9. All Christian production will be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. All Christian production will be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether agathos, intrinsically good, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, or phallos, worthless because you were living your life in the cosmic system. So that's category number 4, operational death of the believer or dead works. And that's where we'll start next time, category number 5. And I know we'll probably have a full congregation. Sexual death. Just the word sexual will bring you in here. Then death will chase you out again. See? Father, we thank you again for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.